ourselves to the teaching of God's word. Fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us?
Welcome to the Sustaining Word, a listener-supported teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Wisconsin. Join Pastor Joe Guglielmo for today's study from God's Word, the Bible. Stay tuned at the end of the broadcast for program ordering information.
This evening, if you would, please turn your Bibles to Genesis chapter 29 as we're continuing our study through the Word of God. And as we've seen, Jacob is on the run from his brother Esau. Jacob tricked his father Isaac into giving him the blessing that was due the firstborn. It was due Esau. And Esau already gave Jacob the birthright for a bowl of lentil soup. And when Esau finds out what his father had done, how Jacob had tricked him, he wants to kill Jacob. And so Rebekah hears about this. He sends Jacob away. Before Jacob goes, Isaac gives his son another blessing, and he runs to his to her brother's house, Laban. And it was supposed to be just for a short time until Esau cooled off, but it ended up being 20 years. Rebekah never saw her son again, which is interesting because what they did trying to trick Isaac into doing something that God had already said was theirs, was Jacob's. God said that the older will serve the younger, and they didn't believe it. So we got to help God out. And look at what it caused. It caused nothing but trouble. You know, Jacob and even Rebekah are fighting for what God had already given to him. How sad. Warren Wiersbe kind of gives us this insight of what was going on here, and it applies to us as well. This is what he wrote. Life isn't easy, and what life does to us depends a great deal on what life finds in us. Jacob could have easily left his family problems behind, but he had to take along his biggest problem, himself. During the next 20 years, Jacob would experience many painful trials in Laban's household, but in the end, he would become God's man to accomplish God's will. However, don't read these chapters as an ancient story about one man's family. This is a contemporary story about all of us who are making important decisions on the road of life, decisions that determine character and destiny. Yeah, you know, the main thing is we don't have to manipulate or deceive or lie, trick people to get what God wants us to have in the first place. And we end up making things harder. God is able to bring anything to pass. And I think we could all look at our lives and give examples of how God brought. We would never have thought that he could do it, and here he accomplishes it. And for Jacob, this was not a short journey to his uncle Laban's house. Laban lived in the area of Padan Aram, Haran specifically, which was in Mesopotamia. That's where Abraham was originally from and where his family still lived. And it was a 500-mile journey. So keep that in mind as we pick up here in Genesis chapter 29, beginning in verse 1. And let's see what the Lord has for us this evening as we study his word. We're told, "So Jacob went on his journey and came to the land of the people of the east. And he looked and saw a well in the field, and behold, there were three flocks of sheep lying by it. For out of that well they watered the flocks. A large stone was on the well's mouth. Now all the flocks would be gathered there, and they would roll the stone from the well's mouth, water the sheep, and put the stone back in its place on the well's mouth." Again, remember, a 500-mile journey probably took him a month or more to get there, depending on how many miles he traveled. And his first stop that first night, he went all the way to Luz. He ends up changing the name to Bethel, or House of God, because he has an encounter with God here at Bethel. And he has this dream about angels ascending and descending on this ladder. And the Lord spoke to him. This is what the Lord said in Genesis 28, verses 13 through 15. He said, "I am the Lord God of Abraham, your father, and the God of Isaac. The land on which you lie I will give to you and your descendants. Also your descendants shall be as the dust of the earth. You shall spread abroad to the west and the east, to the north and the south. And in you and in your seed all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Behold, I am with you and will keep you wherever you go, and will bring you back to this land, for I will not leave you until I have done what I have spoken to you. There's the promise of God, a promise that God had given to Abraham, had then given to Isaac, and now gives to Jacob. And it's out of this, we're told in Genesis 28, verses 16 and 17, that Jacob awoke from his sleep and said, "Surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it." And he was afraid and said, "How awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven." So as chapter 29 opens up, all it says is, so Jacob went on his journey. And we kind of miss what's going on here, I think, in the English, because when it says Jacob went on his journey, it can literally mean Jacob lifted up his feet. What's the point I'm making here? Well, it's simple. It's not that just that he went walking on a journey. It's how he went on the journey. I don't know if you remember the Penguin movie, Happy Feet. Well, that was Jacob. Jacob had happy feet now. The Lord spoke to him. There's joy in his heart and a bounce in his step. And here he is now. He arrives at his destination that the Lord wanted him to be in Mesopotamia, in Haran specifically. You think, well, what changed in Jacob? I mean, here's a guy who's on the run from his brother. He had to leave all his family behind, all the possessions, everything, all the wealth that his father had, and he's running away. He has nothing. And he doesn't know if Esau's coming after him or not. So what changed in Jacob? One thing specifically, his heart. That's what changed. That's what the Lord did. It affected Jacob inwardly, and it was manifested in his actions outwardly. Was Jacob a perfect guy? No, there are none, but God was working and he was growing. And, you know, as I thought about that, I thought, man, what kind of feet do we have? I mean, and I'm not talking about being flat-footed or whatever, you know what I mean? Are we walking each day? Do we have happy feet or grumpy feet? Is there joy in our step, or are we just dragging our feet because what's the point? What's the use? Look at this world. You know, here's the thing. If you want happy feet, walk with the Lord. And once you spend time with him, you go out with joy. Because why? Because you see, everything that he's promised is coming to pass. All these things that are going on in the world, God's not up there going, "I did not see that coming." He knows exactly what's happening. And he's warned us. He's given us information. Why? So we are not afraid. We don't become fearful, and then we can become witnesses of him to a world that is afraid, a world that is fearful about all that's going on. You see, all that changed in the heart of Jacob was his perception of God, who was in control. And I think we need to understand that too. Now, let's kind of look at Jacob and put his life in perspective for a minute. When he left Beersheba for Haran, he was 77 years old. Wow. He spent 20 years serving his uncle Laban. 20 years. He was 33 years back in the land of Canaan. And then he spent the remainder of his life in Egypt, 17 years. He lived 147 years. And God is going to use this man in a powerful way to not only bring the 12 tribes of Israel to be born from him, but to also bring them back in the land one day. And to do that, they're going to have to go through Egypt. But here's Jacob at the well. And it's interesting because Rebekah, his mother, met the servant of Abraham, and he brought her back to meet Isaac, who had become her husband, at a well, right? And now here's Jacob there. And this is a place where he's going to meet his wife, at a well in Haran. And here at this well, sheep are gathered to be watered. There's this large stone over the rock, or a rock over the well, excuse me. And you think, well, why did they do that? They maybe wanted to keep the water pure. They didn't want any animals falling into it, contaminating it. You know, you don't want dead animals in the water because they decay, they rot, it's bad. So they have a rock over it or a stone protecting it. And this is all the hand of God working so the plan and purposes of God can come to pass. Look at verse 4 here. In Genesis 29, "And Jacob said to them, 'My brethren, where are you from?' And they said, 'We are from Haran.' Then he said to them, 'Do you know Laban, the son of Nahor?' And they said, 'We know him.' So he said to them, 'Is he well?' And they said, 'He is well. And look, his daughter Rachel is coming with the sheep. Then he said, look, it is still high day. It is not time for the cattle to be gathered together. Water the sheep and go and feed them. But they said, we cannot until all the flocks are gathered together and they have rolled the stone from the well's mouth. Then we water the sheep. Now, while he was still speaking with them, Rachel came with her father's sheep, for she was a shepherdess. And it came to pass when Jacob saw Rachel, the daughter of Laban, his mother's brother, and the sheep of Laban, his mother's brother, that Jacob went near and rolled the stone from the well's mouth and watered the flock of Laban, his mother's brother. So Jacob arrives at this well. Maybe he's not exactly sure where he's at since there's no signs telling him. And here's the shepherd boys. And Jacob meets them. He says, hey, do you know Laban? And they say, yeah, we know him. In fact, man, look, his daughter's coming. What a coincidence, huh? Just at that time that Jacob's there, Rachel is coming. That's not an accident. That's the hand of God. And I love what Jacob does here. Here comes Rachel. She's a beautiful young woman. And Jacob, what does he do? He's trying to get rid of these shepherd boys. Hey, boys, go water the sheep and get out of here. Go away. Why? Because he wants to be alone with Rachel. I think he's smitten by Rachel. And here comes Rachel with her father's sheep to water them. And there's this heavy stone covering this well. And Jacob, seeing the situation, what does he do? Don't worry, young woman, I'll take care of it. He flexes his muscle. The beach is that way, right? He picks up the stone and rolls it away. He's trying to impress her. You know, when I first met Julie, and we hadn't dated yet, I had to actually, she came swimming at our pool. I had to actually rescue her because she had fallen into the pool. And I, you know, me, you know, flexed my muscles, jumped into the pool and rescued her. Now, she's not here tonight, but she has a little different outlook on it. She tends to tell people I pushed her into the pool and then rescued her. Well, I did, but I did rescue her. That was the main point, you know. It was impressive. Jacob, I think, is seeing the sovereign will of God. Just like, remember the servant of Abraham. It all worked out, and you see the hand of God, and you're like blown away. Hey, I couldn't have orchestrated this any better. I come to this well. I don't, you know, see some shepherd boys there. They tell me, hey, look, you know, yeah, Laban's doing fine. Oh, look, his daughter's coming, Rachel. Wow, the hand of God. Look at verse 11. Then Jacob kissed Rachel and lifted up his voice and wept. And Jacob told Rachel that he was her father's relative and that he was Rebekah's son. So she ran and told her father. Then it came to pass when Laban heard the report about Jacob, his sister's son, that he ran to meet him and embraced him and kissed him and brought him to his house. So he told Laban all these things. And Laban said to him, surely you are my bone and my flesh. And he stayed with him for a month. Now, we don't know what Rachel's response when Jacob kissed her, but she was probably surprised by it. I don't think it was a big, you know, kiss on the lips here, but I don't think it was a, you know, just a kiss, little peck on the side of the cheek. I think there was more of an endearment type of kiss. And then he weeps. Again, I don't know what Rachel thought about that, you know? And he goes on to explain. Wow. Again, God orchestrating this. And I'm sure Rachel, hearing this story, must have thought about her Aunt Rebecca and how the servant of Abraham came for her to bring her to Isaac. And how, and here's God brought Jacob to her. Wow. She tells her dad, Laban, and he's excited. Why? Well, as we're going to see, Laban is a man who is basically show me the money type of guy. He's in it for a profit. What can I get out of this, okay? I'm not interested in relationships here. I'm just in it for what can I gain from all that's going on here. And this is sounds like a good moneymaker to him. And God is going to use this man, Laban, to teach Jacob some valuable lessons that we're going to see. So here is Jacob. He's with Laban for 1 month. And look at what happens in verse 15. Then Laban said to Jacob, because you are my relative, should you therefore serve me for nothing? Tell me, what should your wages be? Now Laban had two daughters. The name of the elder was Leah. The name of the younger was Rachel. Leah's eyes were delicate, but Rachel's was beautiful of form and appearance. Now Jacob loved Rachel, and he said, I will serve you 7 years for Rachel, your younger daughter. And Laban said, it is better that I give her to you than that I should give her to another man. Stay with me. So Jacob served 7 years for Rachel, and they seemed but a few days to him because of the love he had for her. So here's Laban. He's got two daughters, right? Neither of them are married. The older, Leah, it says her eyes were delicate. Some say she was blue-eyed instead of having the more acceptable brown eyes. Possible, and she wasn't married. But I think there's more to it because it says Rachel was beautiful. And so I don't think Leah was as beautiful as Rachel, and Jacob fell head over heels for Rachel. And instead of working for wages, he's going to work 7 years to marry Rachel. And they went by very quickly because he was in love. Now, here's the thing. Like I said, Jacob came from a very wealthy family. Okay? They had lots of sheep and stuff. And when he got to Laban's, what did he have? Nothing. Because he's on the run. So he had nothing. Right? And he's going to work for 7 years, and that was the dowry. And that was way above the normal amount for a dowry. But, you know, he did not want to lose out. And what did Laban do? He took advantage of the situation. 7 years sounds like a good deal for me. You're going to work for me for 7 years for my daughter? Awesome. And he was willing to wait before he married Rachel. 7 years, can you imagine? Here's the thing, and, you know, we've lost this aspect of love today. We've come up with the idea that love is just based upon feelings, but it's not. It's an act of your will. It's something you have to decide. And because love has become just a feeling, when those feelings are gone, people move on. But if it's an act of your will, if you've determined in your heart that this is the person you want to stay with for the rest of your life, you're not going to go anywhere. And for people today, how you treat the person you're dating says a lot about you. You know, feelings change, commitment doesn't. And true love waits. And if it doesn't, you know what it ends up being? And I don't want to offend anyone, but it's lust. It's not love. Love suffers long, is kind, does not envy, does not parade itself, not puffed up, does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked. Thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. Bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. And there it is. You know, true love waits, just like God tells us. Jacob waited 7 years before he was married to Rachel, before the marriage was consummated. And now it's time for the wedding. And can you imagine? Working 7 years, now it's time. Jacob has an idea, Laban has another idea about this. Look at verse 21. Then Jacob said to Laban, give me my wife, for my days are fulfilled, that I may go into her. And Laban gathered together all the men of the place and made a feast. Now it came to pass in the evening that he took Leah, his daughter, and brought her to Jacob, and he went into her. And Laban gave his maid Zilpah to his daughter Leah as a maid. So it came to pass in the morning that, behold, it was Leah. And he said to Laban, what is this you have done to me? Was it not for Rachel that I served you? Why then have you deceived me? You know, Jacob was kind of caught in his own deceptions. He deceived his father Isaac. He cheated his brother Esau. Laban is doing to him what he did to others. It's just like Paul said in Galatians 6:7, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. Yeah. And that's what's happening with Jacob. I think God is teaching him some lessons of faith and how sin looks on when others are doing it to you. And he didn't like it. Just as Isaac and Esau didn't like what Jacob did to them. And it's interesting, instead of Laban giving Rachel as a wife to Jacob, he gives Leah. You think, well, how did Jacob miss out on that one? I mean, were his eyes that bad? Well, the wife was fully veiled, so you couldn't see her face. If it was dark out, yeah, when the marriage was consummated, the veil was taken off. But for whatever reason, he's fooled, he's deceived. I think it's interesting that Jacob is going to the school of hard knocks. I don't know. Have any of you been to the School of Hard Knocks and learned lessons of God? No, I've been there a lot. I go there a lot. Now, please understand, this does not justify Laban's actions, but God is going to use one schemer to teach another schemer a lesson, basically, teach Jacob. Look at verse 26. And Laban said, "It must not be done so in our country, to give the younger before the firstborn. Fulfill her week, and we will give you this one also for the service which you will serve with me still another 7 years." Then Jacob did so and fulfilled her week. So he gave him his daughter Rachel as a wife also. And Laban gave his maid Bilhah to his daughter Rachel as a maid. Then Jacob also went into Rachel, and he also loved Rachel more than Leah. And he served with Laban still another 7 years. So, Laban, the schemer, he's a deceiver too, wants to look good. And he says, "Look, Jacob, this is the reason why we do it. I'm sorry you didn't know this, but that's not how we do things around here. We give our younger daughter in marriage before, or we can't give the younger daughter in marriage before we give the older one. So that's why I gave you Leah first." Was that true? I don't think that was exactly right, but, he's going to let Jacob work for him another 7 years. That's a pretty good deal. 14 years of service, isn't it? And he doesn't have to pay him anything. He's just giving him his two daughters. Wow. Not a nice guy. And Jacob is still in love with Rachel. And what Laban says is, okay, fulfill her week, and then you can marry Rachel, but then you got to work for me for 7 more years. And that's what happened here. After a week, he married Rachel, and he's working 7 more years to pay that off. And think about this. He's married to two women now. He's going to have trouble down the road. What's the pattern for marriage that God established? Well, we don't have to go far. You go to the book of beginnings, the book we're in, the book of Genesis. God established it, one man to one woman. It's very simple. We make it so complex, but God established it. And we see polygamy here. Now, don't we see a lot of polygamy in the Bible? Yeah, we do. Why don't we see God address that and say, "Hey, guys, you're not supposed to be doing that. Remember what I said in Genesis," because he already established it. He's already established the pattern. Now he's telling what the people of God are doing, and it's not a good thing. Just remember what Jesus said in Matthew 19. "Have you not read that he who made them at the beginning made them male and female and said, 'For this reason a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh, so they are no longer two but one flesh. Therefore what God has joined together, let not man separate.'" There it is. Man and a woman. Two people becoming one in marriage. Not three or four or six or eight or ten or, Solomon 700 and 300 concubines. No. And look at the problem that's already arising. Jacob loved Rachel, but he didn't love Leah. And how do you think she felt? Oh, I'm sure she felt horrible. All she wanted to do was to be loved. And all she's going to get is the physical love, as we're going to see, and not an emotional relationship. And for us today, when you think about it, and I'll hit the guys on this one, that our wife needs to feel like she is the most loved person in the world because she's the daughter of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. It's something that, I have to be constantly reminded of because I can get busy and, I can work 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And we always had, my wife and I always had a Friday as our date day. And things got busy. My wife had surgery, and then, I'm not blaming her. Then I just got busy. And I was working on the date day, and we weren't having it. And it was affecting her. And she finally, I thank God she's, lets me know what I'm doing wrong. She goes, "We don't go out anymore." And it really hit me. And, one of the things she was concerned about was, what's going to happen? What if you died? We don't get to spend any time together and you're gone. I thought, okay, well, we're going to go on vacation. We're going to get time alone together, and we're going to have our date days on Friday. And I've been pretty consistent with that because it's important. Your spouse needs to feel that they are the most important person in the world, And I think that's important. And here in this marriage relationship, married to two women, he loves one more than the other, and that's a huge problem. Verse 31 here in Genesis 29. When the Lord saw that Leah was unloved, literally hated, he opened her womb, but Rachel was barren. Can you imagine that? Now, here's the other thing that we have to remember. Was Leah aware of the plot to deceive Jacob? Of course, she was involved in it. But I don't think it was part of her plan. I think this was her father Laban's plan. She was just involved in it.
Devoting ourselves to the teaching of God. Won't you come and join us as we feast on God's word? Come and join together in the presence of God.
That's all the time we have for today's teaching. If you would like a personal copy of this message, mention today's date when you contact us. Our mailing address is Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Post Office Box 224, Manitowoc, Wisconsin, 54221-0224. Our telephone number is area code 920-682-6163. Or visit us on the web at www.thesustainingword.com, where you can listen to past studies and review the study notes. It is the hope of Pastor Joe and the congregation of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, that you would grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Until next time, may the Lord nourish you with His sustaining word.